Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, why, we invite your call right now to 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about hope this month. Paul wrote to Timothy his first letter, and he says this: I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope. So when we talk about hope, we have to talk about Christ Jesus. Why? Because he really is our hope. Yesterday, we gave the definition of hope, the biblical definition of hope, and it's simply this: it's the desire of something good with an expectation of obtaining it. So the nation of Israel, for thousands of years, lived with a hope. They had a desire of something good, and they had an expectation of obtaining it. Their desire of something good was Messiah. All of the promises of God through the prophets to the nation of Israel revolved around the coming of this Messiah that would bring freedom and salvation to them. And so they lived in expectation of that. Well, when he arrived, when Jesus arrived, their hope was on the scene. Everything that they had looked for, everything that they had dreamed about, everything that they had longed for as far as a country was concerned, was right there in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, the hope of Israel. But as he grew up and as his ministry unfolded, they found out he wasn't the Messiah that they were really looking for. Yeah. They wanted a conquering king. They didn't want a humble servant. They didn't want a Messiah that was going to die on a cross. They wanted a victorious Messiah. And yet they didn't realize that in Jesus dying on the cross, he became the victorious one. He conquered sin and death, our real enemy. And so he's still the hope of Israel, and he's our hope. I know each and every one of us in life, we go through life and we know that there's something wrong with us. We know that there's something that's not right. We sense an emptiness. We sense this longing. We ask all of those questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? We want a sense of purpose. We want to get rid of the guilt and shame that plague us. We want a sense of freedom. We want all of those things. And yet, everything that we try out there in the world still leaves us wanting. And then the gospel message shows up and hope strikes a chord in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And we respond. Why? Because Jesus has shown up in our lives, our real hope in the person of Jesus Christ. So I love this passage in 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. If you're looking for hope today, if your circumstances are tough and you're trying to figure out a way out, let me introduce you to Jesus. He is your hope.
That is a great hope, and this is Basic Gospel, where you hear him proclaimed every day, everybody. We welcome you to this edition with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis again, and the number 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. And in the meantime, a question from our friend Kelly, who writes to us from Tampa. Says, this question was asked in our study group, and I would appreciate your perspective on it. A member thinks that God is not in control due to the loss of a loved one from cancer. If God is in control, the person asks, why does he allow this to happen?
Well, that's the age-old question. Mm-hmm. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there suffering in this world? Why is there evil in this world? Certainly, God could wipe all that out in an instant if he wanted to. So that starts to question, well, what is God really up to? What is he really like? I mean, why wouldn't he stamp out evil just like that? But we live in a world that's under the control of sin and death. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, when they chose independence from God, when they rebelled against God, that messed up the whole enchilada, so to speak. Yes. I mean, it messed up mankind. What they became after the fall, they passed on to all of humanity. So we come into this world exactly the way Adam and Eve became after they chose independence from God. So they died spiritually. We come into this world dead spiritually. We're subject to the world system. We live in a world system that is anti-God, anti-Jesus. We live in a world system dominated by sin and death. And so sicknesses and disease and all of those things are a consequence. Our bodies are going to die, and most of the time our bodies die as a result of some sickness.
Yes.
That's just kind of the way, that's the way it is. But in Jesus, we have hope. He's overcome. We saw him overcome through his resurrection. He conquered sin and death once and for all. So even though in this world, these bodies are still going to die, we know that if we have faith in Christ, that we're going to get a brand new body and that we're going to be with Christ in a new world order. In his kingdom, where there is no more sickness, there is no more crying, there is no more death, but that's in the future. And so we have this hope today, and we can recognize that even in the worst of times, we still have Jesus, and there's still hope for us, that death isn't that thing that is the end all. Death is just a passage from this life into his presence once and for all.
Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on that clock, friends, 844-322-2742. We appreciate hearing from each of you who write to us to pose your question, as Kelly did. And Kelly, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. If you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, you can drop us that email by sending it to bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net. We got a question from Kurt, who writes to us from McKinleyville, California. How do I relate to the Holy Spirit? I know the Bible speaks to eternal life as a relationship with the Father and with the Son. I'm not sure how to relate to the Holy Spirit. Should I ask the Holy Spirit to teach me each time I open my Bible?
Well, I think that's a wonderful prayer to pray.
Yes.
Yes, he is our teacher, and he reveals to us the meaning of the Word of God. He takes the things of the Lord Jesus and makes them known to us, and he's very personal and intimate with us. So, yes, we should go into the Word of God with a dependency upon the Holy Spirit of God to teach us truth. But the Holy Spirit is kind of the agency of life for us. Jesus,
yes.
Christ, his physical body ascended into heaven. That's where he is. Mm-hmm. When he ascended on high, he was given the gift of the Spirit. And on that day of Pentecost, he poured out that gift of God's Spirit on mankind. So Jesus has come to live inside of us through the Holy Spirit. That is our deposit, guaranteeing our eternal inheritance.
Yes.
So that's a fabulous guarantee. Jesus Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit is in us, we can say Christ is in us. We can say God the Father mm-hmm. is in us. So he's just the third person of the Trinity. So Jesus Christ, the physical body of Christ, is in the heavenlies at the right hand of God the Father, but he is living in us through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 364 and a quarter days every single year. We can count on him. We can depend upon him. We can trust him. And this is one of those, I think, light bulb moments when we really come to understand the role of the Spirit in our lives. That's when the Christian life really takes off. Before that, we're just left to figure out the Christian life on our own. There's
yes.
no power. We keep giving in to temptation. But then all of a sudden we realize, wait a minute, we have the Spirit living inside of us. Mm-hmm. We can walk by the Spirit. We can realize that he's doing something inside of us, and that can be lived out on a day-to-day basis. We can actually experience the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We can experience those things as we learn to abide or walk by faith in Jesus Christ living through us in the form of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, when I grew up, I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. I was like those people from Ephesus that Paul met. And you're right. I mean, life was just trying harder and crashing and burning worse and worse all the time. And when the Spirit came alive to me, it was like the whole Bible changed. Because in the Old Testament, I could see the God out there, right? He's the God who related to Israel, chose those people, worked through them to bring the Messiah. And then Jesus showed up, and God was right in front of me. Well, that was good, but it wasn't good enough. The realization was that because of those initiatives that God the Father and God the Son took, on the day of Pentecost, everything changed. God the Spirit began to indwell his children. And even though we've still got this flesh hanging on us, we were, in essence, returned to what Adam and Eve had, which was that God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory thing. And that realization, that personalization of the Spirit, rather than just some, you know, ghostly thing out there, but God in here, renewing my mind, you know, giving me the fruit of the Spirit like you just talked about, that really does change your life.
Absolutely.
Because, again, it's all his initiative, and I have the distinct privilege of responding to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if some of our listeners are interested in diving deeper into the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, let me point you to several passages. The book of John, chapters 14 and 16
yes.
are very key chapters as far as the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I also want to direct you to Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse probably 14, all the way down through the end of the chapter. So Ephesians 3, 14, Paul prays this amazing prayer,
yes.
asking the Spirit to reveal the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God to us, not just in an intellectual way, but a heartfelt, experiential
yes.
way. So that's the role of the Holy Spirit, to teach us about the love of God. And then also 1 John chapter 2, where John really talks about the Spirit as our teacher. And then the last passage that I will point you to is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, all the way through the end of that chapter.
Yes.
And that is really where we see that God's Spirit reveals to us the meaning of the grace of God.
Yes.
So again, those chapters, John chapters 14 and 19.
16.
You're correct. I was just checking if you were listening. John chapters 14 and 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9 through verse 16, mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, and then 1 John chapter 2.
Yeah.
Those chapters will give you some real insight into the role of the Holy Spirit in your life.
I'm very impressed because you did all that from memory. I can hardly remember the phone number.
Well, that's why we have it on the screen.
844-322-2742. We do have time on the clock, 844-322-2742. It seems to be a day of email questions, but guys, before we go on to our next one, Bob and Richard and I want to say thank you to the many of you who have stepped up at the end of the year with your gifts, confirming that what you've heard on Basic Gospel has made a positive difference in your lives. Those year-end gifts are not only needed, but very much appreciated. Still, January always seems to bring a kind of a drop-off of support, and we need to be clear on this, friends. I firmly believe that 2016 is going to be a pivotal year for Basic Gospel. If we are to be here for the long haul with the good news of Jesus Christ, you know, we really can't afford to start the new year with a drastic drop-off of support. This January really, really should set the tone for this year and beyond, as a matter of fact. So, we want to challenge you to stand with us as we proclaim Jesus and challenge you to be among the first to make a significant gift to Basic Gospel in this new year. We want to challenge you to help continue to preach Jesus and Him crucified, buried, and resurrected. Challenge you to help us get the word out that this is the gospel that saves. So let's ask the questions. Can you, will you go to your phone right now and call 844-412-2742? Speak with our operator. Make your most generous gift right now. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. Can you, will you go to your computer right now, log on to Basic Gospel, and click Donate on any page and make your most generous gift? Can you, will you get your checkbook right now? Write the most generous gift you can and mail it to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas. Not to be confused with Louisville, Kentucky, but Louisville, Texas, 75057. That's Basic Gospel, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Can you, will you be among the first to help with the gift right now, today? As I said, 2016 is going to be a most pivotal year for Basic Gospel, and we want to be here next year and beyond, and we will with your faithful help, beginning right now, today.
Yes, indeed. Gosh, I was pulling out my checkbook as you were saying that. I really hope people will listen to what Bob was saying there. It is critical that we hear from you here at the beginning of the year. And what a way to set a tone in your own personal life, to say that I want my life to count for Christ. And I'm not saying that in a legalistic way. You're just saying in your heart that I'm going to be directed by the work of God's Spirit inside of me. And I want to set the tone at the beginning that it's about Christ. It's about what he's doing in and through me, and it's about getting his message out to those who need hope. And there's so many people out there who are desperately looking for hope. Jesus Christ is their hope. And so help us proclaim him. Help us deliver hope to a world that is hurting and waiting. You can do so by making a gift today. I also want to mention that we have an exciting trip coming up in about a year, February 7th through the 18th in 2017. So a year and a month from now, we're going to Israel.
Yes.
We've been to Israel a number of times in the past, but we're going back. We've been waiting for the perfect opportunity, and we feel like next February 7th through the 18th is that perfect opportunity to go back. I've met with Eileen Mason and Evelyn Wheeler, and they're putting all the details of this trip together. It is going to be a fabulous experience. Our guide, Abraham Hillel, will be with us, and Abraham is one of the most passionate, energetic, exciting men that you will ever encounter in your life. He just brings the history of that country to life. He is just a fabulous tour guide, and he is worth the price of admission alone. If you've read my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, I start that book out, the first chapter, with a story of Gina and me retracing the final steps of Jesus's life. And what a moment that was for us to really embrace the reality of the resurrected Jesus Christ and to recognize that everything hinges on the fact that he's alive. And that's what you will be able to see and encounter on a trip like this. And certainly as we go and we see the sights, I think you'll have an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to really even take you to a new level of understanding as far as what this gospel message is all about. It's limited. We just have 40 spots available on this particular trip. So if you want to go, I would encourage you to sign up quickly. I think these spots will go rather quickly. So all the information is on our website at basicgospel.net. Just click the events tab. You'll see all the information right there. There's a register button that you can click and go and register. And our tour company, the Israel Tour Company, they just do a marvelous job handling all of the details. They will take care of every single need. They just got back from a trip recently, said it was just fabulous, felt safe. I know that's one of the big questions going to Israel. Is it safe? Is, you know, will we be okay? And the answer is yes. I don't think I've ever felt safer in a city than I have in the city of Jerusalem. So come and be a part of this. It's going to be just a wonderful trip. You're not going to find too many trips to Israel that are going to center on the new covenant. That's what the focus of this trip is going to be about, how Jesus Christ ushered in this new covenant, and we're going to look at Israel through that lens of the new covenant. I guarantee you it will be life-changing.
So collect select the events tab at basicgospel.net. All the information is right there. Guys, a question from Teresa, who writes to us from Wanaw, New York. She says, why does the Catholic Church canonize only elect certain Christians or elect only certain Christians as saints? The Bible clearly teaches that saints are believers in Christ. Do they not believe that we are saints as God's word tells us we are?
Wow.
Yeah. Loaded question.
yes, loaded question.
Well, we do our best.
Yes, indeed. Well, they have certain criteria to, you know, bring a person into sainthood, and, you know, I don't know what all that criteria is.
But it's serious stuff.
It is very serious stuff. But I think, Teresa, you're exactly right. All of us are saints by calling when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's our new identity. We were sinners. That was our identity. We received that identity from Adam and Eve. That was what was passed on to each and every one of us. But that changes the moment that we trust Christ. We become children of God, saints by calling. And that word saint is very close to holy ones. It's people who have been set apart for God's use. So as children of God, we have been set apart for God to use us in this world of darkness. So his life can actually flow through us into the lives of others. That's the exciting part about having this new identity. This new identity comes with a purpose, and that's to set ourselves apart for God's use. So all of us as believers are saints by calling.
Yes. And not to just leave it as banging on Catholics, we Protestants have done similar things. We don't have the same kind of process that Catholicism does, but Protestants have had their particular heroes over the years. And one of the things that happens is we get into this false dichotomy that there is the clergy and the laity. And the clergy somehow are blessed beyond the laity, and so the laity should just sit down and be quiet. That is absolutely false. And so any church that you find that has these false designations that do not call up the entire body of Christ as saints, as children of God, as called to ministry, is shortchanging the gospel.
Yes, indeed. And the work that God does in each and every one of us is as significant as any other work.
Yes.
Sometimes it's on a small scale, sometimes it's on a grandiose scale, but either way, God is the source of that work. No one can boast. So there was a lady that led Billy Graham to Christ, and then Billy Graham has led hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. So which work do you say is better or more meaningful?
Question.
That's exactly right. God worked in both situations to lead one person and then one person leading, you know, millions to Christ. So it's all of God's work, and he looks down and sees significant in every little thing. I mean, giving water to somebody who is thirsty is a significant work according to God, and we're all a part of that work. That's the privilege of being included in the body of Christ. We don't have to divide. We don't have to look. I mean, the church today, we are trying to win celebrities to Christ. And yes, we should be trying to win celebrities to Christ, but we have a purpose. Man, if we can just get him, maybe the world will think a little better of us. And maybe we can ride this person's coattails and the influence and all of that. It's like, my gosh, you have God living in you. What more influence do you need? What more power do you need other than Christ in you, the hope of glory?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for tuning in for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. We hope it's been a benefit to you as we have shared email questions from various sectors of the country. And again, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. We'll be delighted to hear from you and to answer that question or address that particular topic on one edition of Basic Gospel. So that, again, that address is bob@basicgospel.net. We will be back tomorrow for another edition. Until then, for Bob and Rich and the staff, I'm Bob Davis. God bless you. And remember, we are a listener-supported ministry, as we alliterated a little bit earlier. So help us with a gift if you can. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.